And welcome into the Wednesday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezvik here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We got a loaded show for you here today on the program. Paul Kaharsky from paulkaharsky.com and Outkick 360 joining us at 7:30. Sal Palantonio from ESPN coming up at 8:15. And Predators forward Ryan Johansson at 9:30. Lots to get to today here on the program. And as always, we'll take your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Joe Rex Road, what's going on? How we doing?
Doing pretty well. Coming off, never done this before. I watched the Preds game in Bridgestone, but I watched it with Terry Crisp and Lindsey Rowley.
Oh boy,
I heard phrases I've never heard before.
I would imagine that you did.
I can't repeat them, but they were amazing. I would recommend that everyone try to do this in your life one time.
Yeah, it's amazing. Watching a hockey game with Terry Crisp is potentially the most amazing thing ever.
Man, talk about intensity.
Especially this time of year. Like, he's intense all the time, but this time of year when you're closing in on the playoffs, it's pretty unbelievable.
Yeah, it'd be cool. I mean, I think, you know, like, Terry's almost retired now. And although, again, I reject the idea that he won't keep coming on with us. Like, yeah. I fully expect him to. But if he doesn't, I think, you know, Like some of his answers and questions on certain people, I'd like to translate some of last night to one of his segments for us. You know, some real frankness, you know, about what certain people are doing at certain times on the ice.
Yes, it is. But amazing.
What a win yeah. for the Preds after it looked like it might be. Ooh, what a loss when you blow that 2-0 lead.
Yeah, giant win for the Preds last night. We'll get to that here in just a few minutes. Michelle, what's going on? How are you?
Doing well this morning. I also just need to point this out. It's kind of awesome that all three of the players we picked, I know I don't get a point for pick to click because it was in a shootout, but the fact that it was just three goals in the three we picked, I think we should pat ourselves on the back.
Got three geniuses here on the program. That's why you listen to this show, Robbie and Rex Road.
Thanks to the listener for, who'd the listener take?
I think it was Janelle.
Poor Kenny. Yeah. Poor Kenny.
Kenny is Kenny's tried a few times on Preds Pick to Click, and it's not gone well.
Janelle was close.
He was.
Janelle was close a couple times. And then they got a penalty.
They did do that. That's a gigantic win last night for the Predators. They get it done 3-2 in the shootout against the Calgary Flames. That puts the Preds at 93 points. They're two up on Dallas. And now Dallas has one game in hand, but you're six up on Vegas now. With games at even strength for those two, both with 77 games played. You're up 2-0 last night. Forsberg leads off the scoring. Duchesne scores his 40th of the year, the first 40-goal scorer in the history of the Predators franchise. Cool moment there last night. And then all of a sudden you turn around earlier in the third period, and it's 2-2. And Mangiapane scores a couple of goals for Calgary. It's 2-2, and you're thinking to yourself, man, you're up 2-0 in this game against a Flames team that's on the second half of a back-to-back. You need to get some points out of this one. You get to overtime, a couple of chances for both sides in overtime, and then Mikael Granlund, big goal in the shootout. Joe, it's a big one last night for the Predators, and all of a sudden you look at the rest of this schedule, and you just got to find a way to scrap out a few more points, and you're going to be in there.
Yeah, I mean, look, to me, again, we talked about yesterday, can you get 6 out of 12? So now you're can you get 6 out of a possible 12? And now it's can you get 4 out of the possible 10 remaining? Not that you can count on anything, but I would, you know, you get last one if you need it is at Arizona, you know? And honestly, you may be fine with another point elsewhere. You don't want to mess around with that, but I'm just saying the way things are going, you may be fine with that. It is, but you know, the thing is the schedule right now, I suppose, like if you're the Preds, you have to take advantage of this rest. So here it is, you got to rest, but it's just, man, if you could redo this schedule and just space it out to be a normal schedule, It'd be so much better. You have two back-to-backs left out of five games. You have five games in 7 days, starting Saturday at Tampa.
Yep.
You know, you have 3 days before. Like, these 3 days, I'm sure if the Preds could, Hines could. No, just get, you know, do a game Thursday. Like, pull some back and let us stretch it out. But this is how it is. This is what the schedule is. So they better be really taking advantage of this rest now. And then it's going to be full bore and some really interesting goalie decisions, too. I guess it won't be that interesting when it comes, depending on, you know, the stakes of the game. I mean, it's going to be Soros.
Yeah, I mean, and we'll see what happens on that front. I know this, if you're the Predators, these next 3 days, forget that rest. Like today, I mean, enjoy your rest and get ready to go back and practice tomorrow, because as you said, Saturday kicks off next week for a gigantic week. But, man, I mean, just what a win last night. And, you know, I know the Flames were on the back half of a back-to-back, and they're in a pretty secure spot in the standings, but I saw this stat that Alex Doherty of A to Z Sports tweeted out last night that is pretty incredible. I mean, the Predators held Calgary to 21 shots on goal last night, which, by the way, includes an overtime period. So 21 shots on goal with an overtime period in there. The Flames this year have had 59 games where they've had 30 or more shots. 23 of those games, they had 40 or more shots. And you limited Calgary last night to 21 shots on goal. It was kind of a, you know, an ugly playoff-style game at times, but all of a sudden, you turn around and you've given up 21 shots on goal to one of the highest shot volume teams in the league through an overtime. Pretty good job by the Predators last night defensively.
Yeah, I mean, I think that was the big, if there was a big, you know, there's still obviously these stretches, you know, struggling to generate offense and all this stuff, and you're trying to figure out the lines. But I thought that they really were very well organized and careful. They didn't make the big killer mistake too often. You know, obviously, you know, there was a mistake on the, with a change on the second goal for Calgary, but yep. But for the most part, and John Hines talked about this after the game too, you know, like that's the kind of defensive effort that they've had before, that they've had a lot of, that they haven't had enough of, I guess, at times. But that's what you're looking for. They did not give much up easily in that game. So yeah, like you said, second game of a back to back for Calgary. So you always consider that, and we'll get to see those guys again in a week.
Yep.
In the same building, which is interesting. And obviously you can see the potential, if this is a playoff series, you can see the potential for a very physical playoff series, some, you know, your typical playoff series bitterness that comes up. It could be a really interesting and competitive playoff series, I think.
Well, good to see Philip Forsberg and Matt Duchene on the board last night. We've talked a lot about Forsberg this week being stuck on that 38-goal mark. I mean, it was just a simple one-timer on the power play that he ripped, put in the right spot. He gets his 39th of the season. And then Matt Duchene, on kind of a broken play that ends up towards the front of the net last night, he finishes off for his 40th of the year. But those two last night, you know, kind of back in their groove. And especially in the case of Forsberg, who's been fighting it a little bit as of late in terms of the goal scoring, to see him rip that one home was good, and maybe that's the start of him getting back in the goal-scoring department coming down the stretch here.
Yeah, and I got this stat from Crispy. I haven't verified it. Is it true that Duchene scored his 40th goal last night and actually did not leave the game with a recorded shot on goal?
I need to look that up, but that could be true, actually.
Be good. It'd be like a good little trivia question. If true,
it would be.
Yeah, that was a bit. Yeah, that was a weird one for your 40th. But yeah, but you'll take it. I like the Hines quote too. Kids in an Easter egg hunt, trying to go get that puck for him.
He did not have a shot on goal last night. And scored.
How about that?
That's how you do it.
Crispy's right again.
That helps the old shooting percentage.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, no doubt. Right. So yeah, those guys. I will say, like I. You know, when the Flames tied it up, you're just like, whew, boy. The last, you know, half of that third period, that was serious tension and a lot at stake. And, again, Preds didn't give much up. Soros did have to come up big a few times, and he did. And certainly, you know, in the shootout, I mean, Soros is a –
pretty good.
How does Soros compare as a shootout goalie to other goalies? I'd like to see that stat. maybe someone would laugh at even keeping that stat, but I'm sure it's out there somewhere.
Oh, it's out there.
I feel like he's awfully good in those situations.
He's been really darn good at it this year. I don't have the numbers in front of me. I can probably find those, but he's pretty good in the shootout. Now, you know, obviously when Connor McDavid's bearing down on you earlier this year, that's a little bit different. He made Saros look silly, but get in line in terms of players that Connor McDavid looks silly on a breakaway. So he's been pretty darn good comparatively to the rest of the league.
There was some surprise when Mikael Granlund was the third guy.
I was surprised.
I thought maybe it would be like, okay, everybody, you guys can go get a sandwich. It's Ryan Johansson. He's now on a shootout, and it's going to take 19 minutes to get to the net. That's right. Did we get Johansson today? We got to remember to ask him about the shootout.
Yeah.
Time it takes to do a shootout. But Granlund just goes 5-hole, man. That was slick. And huge second point right there. Huge.
Yeah, no question about it. Got a texter on the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com that says, glad they won. Now we won't have to hear Stillman for 4 hours of fire Hines. LOL. This is coming from a texter on the text line. He would never do something like that.
Yeah, I spent some time with Jared last night, too. I go from Crispy and Lindsay to, you know, the media room and Jared. And he might do that.
You sound thrilled about it. It's good stuff. We're off and running here.
I had a nice time.
Off and running here today on Robbie and Rex Row, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. We'll get into a very interesting stat for the Predators that could bode very well for them in the playoffs coming up on the other side as well. Let me tell you about my friends at the Nashville Predators. You can join the Preds Smashville Open House event this Saturday, April 23rd. Have you ever wanted to see inside the Preds locker room? Well, don't miss your chance coming up on Saturday, April 23rd at the Smashville Open House. At this event, you'll have the first chance to pick your seats for the 2022-23 season. Plus, all fans can sign up for the chance to shoot on net to win two lower-level half-season tickets as well. They'll have Preds locker room tours, complimentary popcorn and Coca-Cola products, and 50% off all other food and beverage. You can save 30% off all Stadium Series merchandise at Nashville Locker Room as well. Inflatables, balloon artist, and face painting for kids. Don't miss your chance to secure seats for the 22-23 season and guarantee access to be every home playoff game this season with significant savings as well. And you're also invited to hang around and watch the Preds take on the Tampa Bay Lightning that night as well on Fang Vision. Make sure you check that out and hit up the Nashville Predators open house at the Nashville Predators Smashville open house event coming up this Saturday, April the 23rd.
Now Mikael Granlund quickly moves into the zone, wide left, holds on, he scores! Mikael Granlund, he's now 3 of 3 this year.
Well, I think it's been, you know, I mean, we've preached for a long time, you know, toughness is king, mental toughness, physical toughness, and emotional toughness. And I think as we all see, like, it's a hard league, and I think you need to have skill, and you need to have talent, and you need to have structure, and you need to have an identity, but there's a mental component of the game and a toughness component of the game that is required to win. It's required to make the playoffs. Now, we're still in the hunt to be able to do that. But I think it's embracing high-stakes hockey, embracing what the games are like when you play against, you know, really good teams or playoff teams or down the stretch where every game matters and your decisions matter. I think it's really trying to take advantage of those opportunities and setting those seeds in your identity throughout the year, so when they're called upon now, you've learned lessons, you've been able to respond. And you know, I think there's been times this year, you know, we didn't play very well against St. Louis, but I can tell you that there was disappointment after the game from everyone that can control what the next thing is going to happen, which is the coaches and players.
That was John Hines last night after a 3-2 shootout win for the Predators against the Calgary Flames. They're up to 93 points in the standings now, 6 points up on Vegas, 2 points up on Dallas right now. So the Preds firmly in the first wild card spot at the moment. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5. The game streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here with you on this Wednesday morning. So, Joe, I was thinking to myself last night as this game went final, if my memory serves me correctly, the Predators have been pretty successful against the Calgary Flames and the Colorado Avalanche this year. Obviously, we've talked a lot about those two teams. They are probably, if they make the playoffs, I mean, definitely, they're going to either play Calgary or they're going to play Colorado at this point. And I looked through the standings, and I am correct. The Predators are 4-1-0 against the Calgary Flames and Colorado Avalanche this year. 2-0 against Calgary, both wins coming in either overtime or a shootout in the case last night. And 2-1 against Colorado as well. They'll have Colorado on the road one more time. Calgary coming into the building next week as well. So, I mean, you could finish 6-1 against those teams. You could finish 4-3 against those teams. We'll see what happens at this point. But do you read anything into the Predators being 4-1 against the two teams that we've talked so much about in Colorado and Calgary?
Not a ton. Probably. Maybe a little bit more into Calgary. I mean, just because one of those wins was last night. Again, back to back. Markstrom's not in goal, but at least this is, you know, a lot of that success, a lot of the things the Preds did in the first half of the year, I think you kind of just brush that aside because it was just so long ago, and this team is not playing as well now. Especially just like the way Colorado's playing and everything, the way things have gone. I don't know how much it really matters, but maybe there's a bit of a, like, I think the Preds were at the peak of their powers, like when they beat Colorado in that great game, you know, at home way back when. I just don't think it relates a whole lot to if that's the series. Maybe the matchup is decent with Calgary. I mean, I guess when I look at that, I read a little bit more into it with Calgary, and I certainly, not that last night was necessary or anything like that, but I probably feel even more, I mean, more and more strongly about the Preds being better off facing Calgary in the first round than Colorado, and just, you know, that side of the playoffs rather than trying to beat Colorado and then one of either Minnesota or St. Louis.
Well, they haven't played Colorado since January. So that was that great 5-4 overtime game where I think Duchesne had the game winner. Max Harris was on the call in that game. It's been a long time since they've seen Colorado. I mean, up until last night, they hadn't seen Calgary since, I think, like November. Yeah, November 2nd was the last time they had seen Calgary. So, you know, I don't put a whole lot of stock into it. I will say, though, I thought the Predators, and I realize, again, it's the second half of a back-to-back for Calgary. I thought they played pretty well against them last night, and it was kind of that muck things up playoff style of game that you're probably going to need to play if you're the Predators to win that series. And I thought they did a decent job of holding down Johnny Gaudreau and Matthew Tkachuk last night. So, I mean, those are the two guys that have really made them go all season long. You know, Gaudreau's got 107 points or whatever it is, and Matthew Tkachuk, I think, is at 99 now. So those are obviously the two guys that you got to keep an eye on. I do, and I was talking about this yesterday on Darren Donick and Chase. I don't think there's a ton of difference between Colorado and Calgary, and I've talked about that for a few weeks now. I do think Colorado's probably a little deeper than Calgary is. So at this point, you know, if you had me to force me to choose, I'm taking my chances with Calgary, but I don't think it's that big of a difference. I don't think the regular season record matters all that much, especially when you start talking about, you know, overtime wins and shootout wins when it's 3-on-3 and you're in a shootout, because you're not going to have 3-on-3 in the playoffs. You're not going to have a shootout in the playoffs. It's a completely different thing. But if nothing else, if you're the Predators heading into one of these matchups, I think you could at least gain some confidence from it that, yeah, we've beaten these guys. We know that we can play with these guys, which I think is something heading into a series.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think there'd be some level of confidence, you know, and I know, you know, the Preds are going to see Colorado here, although what exactly they're going to see, I don't know. But yeah, I don't think, I don't think that there's any sort of, remember last year going in, like they had just done really poorly against those top teams in that weird COVID year setup where you just play your own division and stuff. And so like that last win, even though that was a, you know, that was a somewhat diminished Carolina team. That's still like the Preds thought it meant something. And again, I mean, it did lead into a very competitive series. So, but that I think maybe was more needed at the time. I just feel like the Preds in general have just been sort of on this search for, you know, being able to consistently put out the game that they want to put out there, regardless of who they're playing. And so that's still the bigger thing is, like, can you figure out your lineup? Can you play? Really, I think a lot of what they did last night, can you translate that? Like, I look at the schedule ahead, and I'm just, in my mind, I figure one game at least in there is going to be a total stinker for them, total clunker. Maybe I'm wrong, but that's, I've become conditioned to, like, expect that from this team now, that they just have this every few games, like, whoa, okay, you flush that one, move on. You got to get rid of that, you know? And that's part of, I think, the rest of the schedule too. Most important thing is getting these points, getting in, getting the wins, but also, can you get everything kind of put together on a consistent basis and get back to your
identity?
Most there you go. At least it's better than culture. But really, you know, that is what it is. It's, can you play your game consistently and not have these random, I know the second period in St. Louis is a extreme example, but it's just like, what is going on? All of a sudden you just lose your mind for a little bit. Yes, the opponent goes nuts too, but that's part of the end here too. And I wonder on the lineup front, what do you think about, you know, where the lines are as constructed right now?
Well, I like putting Forsberg and Duchesne back together with Granlund, and they've done that basically the last couple of games where they've had those two back together. I still think 5-on-5, you're asking Johansson to do a lot when you've got Nick Cousins and Luke Cunningham playing with him. You know, they've gone with that combo earlier this year, and obviously they put the Hurd line back together as well. And I think they like right now the fourth line of Tolvin and Glass and Tomasino. My question is, on Saturday, when it looks like Michael McCarron could be back and could be available, what are you doing with the lineup and who's coming out? Because, I mean, I don't know about you. I think Cody Glass has been okay since he's come back in. You know, I've said this many times, Luke Cunningham to me does not need to be playing in a top six role. So if McCarron's back, and, you know, David Poile was on Darren Donica Chase yesterday, and it sounds like there's a decent chance that McCarron could be back on Saturday against Tampa Bay. Number one, is he back in there in that game? And number two, if he is, who are you taking out of the lineup? I'd be interested to see what happens there. But, you know, I'm not a huge fan of the Cousins-Johansson-Cunningham line, but if it's Forsberg, Duchesne, Granlund back together right now, I guess you're just going to have to live with it and ask Ryan Johansson to continue to try to produce without those guys.
Yeah, I think McCarron will be back. I think he'll play. And I just think, you know, I agree with you. I think you've noticed Cody Glass some, you know. I think he's played pretty well. But you're not going to go with that line in a playoff series anyway, right?
I don't think so.
You know, so to me, I guess I'd expect it to start going more towards something you might actually use in the postseason. I think McCarron will be, you know, centering that fourth line. And then, yeah, it'll be really interesting what other things are done. I would assume Glass would be just back out, but maybe not.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll continue the discussion on the Predators, get into a little NBA playoffs action last night as well, and we'll see how the Memphis Grizzlies responded in Game 2. Make every day a good old day with the hand-cranked taste of Blue Bell ice cream. I can taste it just talking about it right now. The good old days are being made right now. Check out Blue Bell ice cream and make sure you do it today, because that weather's warming up. You're going to love it. Blue Bell ice cream. Not going to want to miss it. Go to thegamenashville.com/deals to check out Nashville's best deals. Right now, there are deals including half off for 312 Pizza Company, the Woodhouse Spa, Brooklyn Bowl. Plus, you could experience a 60-minute float session from Float Horizon for just $39.50. Check out all of Nashville's best deals now at thegamenashville.com /deals. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Joe Rex Road, I've upset Avalanche Twitter for pointing out that the Predators are 4-1 against the Avalanche and the Calgary Flames. A Twitter called Avalanche Forever has tweeted me and says, very important context to those victories against Colorado. The first one, the Avalanche had Makar, Taze, Rantanen, Kemper, and Moore out with COVID pulled just before the game. And the second one, there was a bogus too many men call in overtime against Colorado. The Avs didn't have too many. The Preds did. This is coming from Avalanche Forever on Twitter.
Is that true? He's right on the first one, but the Preds also missed. Well, they missed about three or four key guys, right? Too. Yep. I forget who, but yeah, both teams were very diminished. I hope you tweet that back at this account. That's not true on the too many men, is it?
Honestly, I don't remember. I'd have to go back and look. I'm sure that there is a case to be made that a too many men call was missed because they miss them all the time. But I don't remember. I have to go back and look. But Avalanche Twitter very defensive this morning that the Predators have beaten twice.
Well, hopefully, he'll rope a bunch of other Av Twitter people in it, and you can just get into a full battle royale today. That'd be great.
Me just taking on the citizens of Colorado. Denver, coming for you.
Go on a mute fest.
Maybe so. Big win for the Preds last night. They'll be back in action coming up this Saturday against the Tampa Bay Lightning. Ryan Johansson, Preds forward, joining us here today on the show at 9:30. So a little NBA playoffs action last night. We wondered, how would the Memphis Grizzlies respond in Game 2 against Minnesota? They win 124-96 last night at home. They looked kind of like the Memphis Grizzlies have looked all year long. Very good, very balanced on the offensive and defensive sides of the ball. Ja Morant nearly with a triple-double last night. 23 points, 10 assists, 9 rebounds for Morant. Jaren Jackson was 16 last night. And then Desmond Bane with 16 as well. And you look throughout the bench, Tillman with 13, Clark with 13, Jones with 10, Williams with 13. It was a very balanced night for the Memphis Grizzlies last night.
Yeah, this is exactly what you were looking for, you know, if you're a Grizzlies fan. You're looking for this kind of response, make a statement, just handle your business, get a blowout win, and they did exactly that. Too bad for Ja Morant. One rebound, man. Rebound. But you're not, because he got pulled with, quite a bit of time left in that game, as it is the smart move. But, it's like those playoff triple doubles are kind of nice if you can get them. But he will, he'll have plenty more chances before he's done. But, Jaren Jackson, the guy who called his play bleepy in the first game.
He did.
He was terrific. 16-7, like you said. Let's just have a lot of depth. And they got a lot of guys who can who can chip in, and they played their brand of defense, and now you got a fun series, I think. But I think, from two games, maybe this will end up being a little bit of here's the level required. This is the playoffs. You're better than this team, so let's see if they can make quicker work of them. Because and we'll see what happens with Golden State and Denver. But right now, Golden State is trending toward making that a fast series.
Yep. Well, it was interesting. Like Steven Adams, he had 3 minutes last night, so he played three minutes in the games last night. There's still room for improvement. I mean, Dylan Brooks shot 3 of 11 last night, 0 of 5 from three. Jaren Jackson went 4 of 7 from three last night, so. I mean, there's still some room for improvement to shoot the ball. They only shot 32% from three last night. So, maybe you can get better in that area as you're moving throughout the rest of the series. I think you're probably going to need to be better in that area going on the road. But just big win. I mean, you can't go down 0-2 heading back to Minnesota in the NBA. Like, you needed to even that thing up. And now go get one, hopefully two on the road, and you'll be sitting pretty if you're Memphis coming back home.
Yep, no doubt. And this is the time of year when I feel like every day you wake up and you're like, whoa, that happened? And I definitely had that reaction. Not quite the same as yesterday when I found out New Jersey won at Vegas, you know, in hockey. But New Orleans tying up the series against Phoenix. And by the way, so I saw this stat before the game. The like the official who worked that game, I think it was something like the last 13 straight Chris Paul games with him officiating, Chris Paul's team has lost.
Good. My favorite official in the league.
And actually, it was pretty funny because Ricky Merritt, who you know has to show us every single betting slip that he has, which was a lot, by the way. But he had a – the reason I saw this tweet is because Ricky quote tweeted that tweet, and it was like basically like I can flush my son's minus 10.5 ticket in the toilet. And, boy, he was right.
Yeah.
Flush it. But Brandon Ingram, stud. Guy is a stud. And I don't know. I did not expect any sort of interesting stuff happening in that series. Yeah, it's 13 playoff games. 13 playoffs, so that's 14 straight now.
Keep them coming.
That was Scott Foster officiating, and he was the lead official last night. I mean, that's just a weird stat. I mean, like there can't be, right? Like, there can't be that much correlation, but I don't know, man. There's 14 in a row.
Well, the Sun should be worried because Devin Booker got hurt.
Yeah, I think he's going to be okay.
Yeah, what is up with that?
Hamstring, guys. We know about those. Oh, Not good.
Ask the Titans about those.
I mean, yeah, I've seen Magic Johnson try to play in the NBA Finals with a bad hamstring. Didn't work out well for him. That could really shake up the West. You know, I mean, if that's going to bother him, you know, obviously that really hurts them severely. And who knows? I mean, that Golden State. Yeah, you know, that Golden State Grizzlies series that we've been anticipating, which we still don't know is going to happen, but that could be for a lot.
You want to talk about a weird stat? And by the way, the Heat win last night, 115-105. Jimmy Butler with 45 last night. They're up 2-0. They're going to sweep Atlanta. I'm just calling it now. They're going to sweep Atlanta. This is a weird stat that I saw from Tyler Fulgham last night of ESPN. The Atlanta Hawks are now 0-41 against the spread in losses this season. 0-22 as an underdog. 0-41 against the spread in losses this season. How is that possible, Joe Rexroad?
So if it starts going bad, they just get blown out?
I guess so.
I mean, is that like, that's weird. Wow.
Even as an underdog, like you think as an underdog, you'd cover a few times. They're right, 0-22 as an underdog. I don't know that I've ever seen anything quite like that.
Such a weird team. I mean, obviously they've been underwhelming this year, disappointing. And then, like, you look at how they played, you know, like in the play-in, you know?
Yeah.
I was like, okay, there's a little bit of the team that we thought we'd see. And then now it's just back to, yeah, they kind of stink. They're kind of cheeks. Too bad. Trae Young, and that's, you know, some of it is just like Trae Young goes nuts. They can beat anyone. Sometimes
then he has 10 turnovers last night.
Yeah, it's not good.
Ugh. My goodness.
Game two tonight between the Nets and the Celtics. Boston up 1-0 in that series. We'll see if they can do America a favor and go up 2-0 in that series. Bulls and Bucks tonight in game two as well. Bucks up 1-0 in that series. And then game three between the Sixers and the Raptors. Philadelphia up 2-0 in that series. So I would say the most intriguing game of the night will be Nets and Celtics. Game two.
Yes. Oh, yes. Kyrie and the Celtics fans, and that again, that just that buzzer beater is wow. I still think you thought Celtics were going to win the series, even going in. I still think Brooklyn's going to win the series, but I'm with you that most of America would enjoy the reverse of that.
They would, which is amazing to say about the Boston Celtics, but that's where we are at this point.
They're way less hateable than they used to be.
That is true. I got some tickets to give away, a 4-pack of tickets to see Seltzerland coming up on Saturday, April 23rd or April 30th at Riverside Golf Links. That's Seltzerland on Saturday, April 30th at Riverside Golf Links. Be caller number 3-615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Caller number 3 will win a 4-pack of tickets to Seltzerland coming up on Saturday, April the 30th. You're listening to Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 1025 The Game. Seltzerland is turning Nashville into a hard seltzer paradise coming up on Saturday, April 30th at Riverside Golf Links. You can enjoy this one-of-a-kind immersive experience as you spend the day tasting over 100 unique hard seltzers, indulge in mouth-watering munchies, tons of seltzer swag, and bust out the Graham for the most Insta-worthy moments. Seltzerland has rounded up the best hard seltzer brands in the land for one epic day dedicated to the bubbly brew everyone can't get enough of. Go to thegamenashville.com/contest to enter for your chance to win tickets to Seltzerland. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joe, you teased it yesterday, a big day for Vanderbilt Athletics, and it was quite the day for Vanderbilt Athletics yesterday. First off, announcing that volleyball will be added as a sport beginning in 2025, will be the 16th varsity team at the school at Vanderbilt University. It's been there before. Volleyball team got discontinued in 1980, but volleyball coming back to Vanderbilt. So news on that front. And then Vanderbilt getting into the NIL game as well, announcing a deal with NBC Sports. And I think it was Notre Dame and Temple are part of this as well, which basically the point is to help connect athletes to potential businesses who may want to partner with the athletes to monetize their names, images, and likeness. So we've talked a lot about NIL, Vanderbilt getting in the fold with that as well. Quite the day yesterday over at Vanderbilt University.
Yeah, officially, you know, getting into that. And it is interesting, as Gentry S has pointed this out on Twitter, like, what's the SEC? Are they cool with, like, the whole NBC thing for Vanderbilt? Of course, NBC broadcasts Notre Dame games. Interesting, like, Temple is randomly in there, like, but getting into that officially, and that's more of the I guess more of the maybe intended NIL stuff. A lot of stuff interesting, and I haven't been able to talk to him, but a lot of interesting stuff on the NIL front here. I think at some point maybe this week, I'd like to dig in on this a little bit more. You know, our Stuart Mandel at The Athletic had a piece laying out a bunch of recent contracts, you know, that are quote unquote name, image, likeness. And there's some doozies, you know, there are some doozies in there, you know, 3 year, 2 million, 2 year. I mean, I don't have it in front of me, but like, it's really, you know, there's going to be some, and I think we've talked about this, but like, there's going to be some serious course correction, I'd say, with some of this stuff, you know, some of this heavy, heavy investment in incoming, you know, high school prospects who you just don't know how this is going to work, especially in football. I mean, it's just so off. It does not work out like you think it will, but the money is, I mean, everybody's now in this race. It's like, I feel like that we've gone from arms race of facilities to arms race of, just getting the money to prospects as fast as possible, which is exactly, you know, the NCAA said, like, it shouldn't be pay for play. Well, it is pay for play. But Kyle Tucker had some stuff, which I'm assuming comes from Kentucky, about, basically Greg Sankey getting the word out. Like, here, I'm going to go ahead and just say this tweet from Tucker as I ramble on. Quote, I've heard from multiple places that SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey has advised caution to member schools on these NIL collectives and other initiatives that are really flirting with full-on pay-for-play. There's some real concern of a reckoning for those playing fast and loose, end quote. And, of course, you know, that you think of Tennessee. Tennessee has been absolute ahead of a lot of places, including Alabama, in terms of the collective, collecting all this money, and then, hey, you know, here's money to bring in players. My question for that, by the way, Tennessee's got a huge recruit, is, you know, look, the NCAA decided not to mess with this, basically, and to let it go and to be the Wild Wild West. Can you really retroactively now come in and throw the book at people? I have my real questions about that. Now, you can change the rules, or you can put in rules, or you can try to enforce things or set boundaries, whatever. And then, you know, I think you then can judge behavior from that point, right? But this idea that, right now, be careful, you're going to get crushed. I mean, the NCAA can barely enforce clear violations of their rules that are on FBI wiretap.
Yeah. Just doesn't make a whole lot of sense that they'd be able to go back and do that. But big news nonetheless. I did find the NBC Sports part of it interesting. I think I saw, you know, Gentry Estes point this out too. If you're the SEC and you're Greg Sankey and obviously ESPN and the SEC network that you've got these massive TV deals with, how do you feel about Vanderbilt partnering up with NBC Sports? That one's going to be interesting to see how they feel about that.
Yeah, but you know, look, now the SEC is all ESPN, but I mean, I look at like the Big Ten. You know, I mean, they have a lot of their stuff on ESPN. They have an ESPN ABC deal, but they also have a Fox deal. Their best stuff now is on Fox. I mean, you know, ultimately, I don't think it's that big of a deal. I mean, it's hard to be able to tell an individual school you can't deal with these people or these people on this stuff. So, but it is. I'm sure there's at least an eyebrow raise. Maybe Greg Sankey. You know, Greg Sankey warning a lot of people about a lot of things these days. All of a sudden, I guess. But I think it's smart of Vanderbilt to get into something like this, for sure. I mean, I still believe that. I mean, you've got to have good teams. You got to have obviously athletes who people want to rally around. I think that there's like a lot of potential in women's basketball. We're seeing that a lot of the real marketable athletes are in women's basketball. You know, as Vanderbilt gets better there, you know, I think that they can, and certainly with the baseball program, you know, I feel like you got a chance to really do something there too. So yeah, everybody's got to have something in this realm as we sort of move forward and try to figure out what it will be. I would advise also on this, David Hale had a really good thread kind of ripping media on how we're covering NIL. And I think it's on Twitter. A David Hale joint is what his Twitter account is called. He works for ESPN, but he had a really good thread about, like, you know, how we're sort of just calling everything NIL, even though some of it is just straight up pay for play. And he's right. But at this point, until it gets defined at all, I mean, I guess I'm just not surprised that this is how it's gone.
No, I'm not either. And speaking of that point, another big day for Tennessee football yesterday. Caleb Herring.
Not necessarily related,
but he is announcing that he is committed to Tennessee. He's a four-star recruit, top player in the state of Tennessee, out of Riverdale High School here in Murfreesboro, but an edge rusher, 6'5", 205, outside linebacker from Murfreesboro, coming in and announcing his commitment to Tennessee. So we talked about this last year in terms of if you're Josh Heupel, you've got to recruit the state better than you did. To get the top player in the state to come in and commit to Tennessee, that's a big deal. And obviously we'll see what happens on that front and if there's momentum generated there. But the first place where I saw, and I know Austin Price is the one that kind of did the work on this, but the first place that I saw the reaction to this was from Nico on Twitter. And I think he's been pretty darn important to this upcoming recruiting class for Tennessee.
No doubt. He's when he came to Knoxville, he's very outspoken about that. Seems to just have a really kind of magnetic personality about him, which is what you want. You want a great player at that position first, but also you want a leader. You want someone who is actively trying to help you recruit. You know, people want to play with a great quarterback. So I think he's going to be key. This is a big pickup. Number one player in the state. Always, look, this state gets better and better. It is not Florida. It is not Georgia. But it is much better in terms of talent. It's so important for Tennessee to be able to get in there because you, in many years, the top two, three, four players of the state have been going to Clemson, LSU, Bama, whatever. This is significant. It's still tough. I mean, these waters are tough that you're recruiting in, even with the collective situation, all that, and which people are going to catch up. But it's a good sign for this class and for Josh Heupel that he can get a commitment like this.
And after this commitment, I believe Tennessee is now up to number 8 in the 2023 recruiting rankings for 24/7 Sports. So right in the top 10, up to number 8 for Josh Heupel and company. That's a pretty good spot to be in for Tennessee when you hadn't won anything in a long time.
Yeah, exactly. And that's obviously, you think about that. You think about the finish to the class compared to what it looked like around, you know, mid-October or even like maybe early November. Like, look at Tennessee's recruiting success from basically like around there until now. It's really been awfully impressive. And that was the biggest knock on Josh Heupel, without knowing exactly how things are going to go with Josh Heupel being able to sell Tennessee. But right now, there's some real momentum.
Coming up next, Trevor Maddich had some spicy thoughts on Ryan Tannehill and his decision not to show up to the voluntary offseason workout program. We'll get to that coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.